This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Waka waka!
Expecto Patronum!
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me, Sharmila Ganesan. And calling in from home, we have Arvind Yuvaraj. And today, we are, as always, on a Tuesday, throwing back to a film. Today, it's a slightly older one. So it's from 1979, and we're throwing back to the Muppet movie.
I love the Muppets. So I was very excited that we were doing this, except, of course, I had actually forgotten which Muppet movie was which.
So this is the first.
Yes, so this is the very first one. And I think most people will remember it because it was the originator of the Rainbow Connection song. That's how I remembered it.
I'm going to be like completely upfront and say that this is not going to be an objective review at all, because I cannot find any wrong with the Muppets. It is going to be just me talking about how much I love these things and how much I've grown up with these things and how I find these movies to be 100% perfection all the time, no matter how many times I've seen them.
And in so the just, other corner.
Okay. All right. So this is my coming out party. I'm going to be very honest and say that I have never liked the Muppets. Not because of anything. So the thing is, I get that they're charming. I understand that they're funny. While watching this film also, I was like, oh, you know, the way that they choose to be really surreal and odd and strange. Like, I really enjoy that from a distance. But emotionally speaking, I've just never been interested in the Muppets. And you know how some people say certain types of animation or older movies, they just can't watch it without feeling a little bit disconnected, disengaged, maybe even bored. Mm. That is how I feel about the movement of the Muppets, the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, I struggle with that. I'm just going to say that.
No, I find that really interesting because as I was watching the Muppet movie yesterday, one of the things that came to mind is, how is it that I don't find this weird or janky? How is it that I fall so easily into watching what is so obviously puppets? Puppets that aren't even remotely trying to look human, existing side by side in a human world. And within the first, like, 3 minutes, I'm just like, okay, yeah, I get it. This is the world I live in now.
Which is a huge part of the charm, right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it is. Because I think the weirder they move, and if they look sort of unnatural, the more unnatural they seem, the more I like them. And I don't know what it is. I think Jim Henson has sort of perfected that awkward body movement that he does for especially for Muppets like Gonzo and Muppets like Kermit, where there's no one actually playing the Muppet. It's a bunch of sticks and strings and maybe they're hand puppets, right? As opposed to maybe Fozzie Bear and a couple of the others that are slightly bigger, where you have people in suits and they move slightly human. But the non-human Muppets are my favorite because they don't move like cartoons, like you said. At the same time, they don't move like people. And there's a signature sort of kineticness to the Muppets that has been intact since the 70s or 60s, whenever they came out. It's always been the same. I don't know how they keep it that way, but I love that they do.
So I think we should say a little bit about the story. The Muppet movie is a road comedy buddy movie, yes, of sorts, and it's really kind of the gathering. It's a meta movie in some ways.
It's so meta.
Yes, yeah. Because it's the Muppets gathering to watch a movie fundamentally about how they came into being, and it begins with Kermit in a swamp being sold this dream of Hollywood, and then he decides that, okay, I'm going to road trip along, across the country. And along the way, he picks up your Fozzie Bears, your Miss Piggies. And through it all, they have adventures. They have to escape an evil restaurateur of sorts.
Yes.
Yes. And that's pretty much the setup for the movie, right? It's this idea of dreaming about Hollywood.
Yes. And when you say that it's meta, I think it's actually quite important to talk about how meta it is, because it's a weird space where everybody seems to know they're in a movie, because there are moments when characters will hold up a script or they'll say, oh, I knew what was going to happen because it's in the script. But at the same time, there's a lot of heart to what's happening. And also they're human. So basically the Muppets are existing alongside humans in a world where it's normal for some people to be Muppets and some people to be human. And so there are these bunch of cameos by all of these great like 1970s, 80s stars. You have people like Richard Pryor and Bob Hope and Steve Martin. And it's a very, I think what's important to know about this particular one is that it's a very, very of the era. The jokes are of that era, the way the movie works and the beats and the humor are all very late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, and that's a staple Muppet thing, right? Like every Muppet movie that comes out has a bunch of cameos from famous people, very famous faces from whatever is going on in pop culture at the time show up and play like super small roles that they'll be around for maybe like 5 minutes, a maximum of 7 to 10 minutes at most, and then they disappear. And you think they're going to have more to do in the movie, but they don't. They just like, they never show up again. But also, that's not the extent of how meta the movie is. I think, so the Muppets are watching a movie of the Muppets, and in the Muppet movie, they have a screenplay of the Muppet movie that the Muppets use to find other Muppets. That is, you cannot make sense of what is going on in
Nolan's going to do a remake at some point.
Nolan can't touch this; like his brain can't comprehend what's going on. But that is how many layers of meta they have in this film.
Yeah, and I think one great thing about the movie. I'm going to say upfront, like I said, I may not sound like the most enthusiastic person here, partly because I clearly am not. You guys genuinely love the Muppets and I understand them and appreciate them, I think, more as a pop culture phenomenon. And so just, you know, don't dismiss my positive feedback because it exists. And so what I was about to say is that I think that this movie does something really well, which is it gives enough for the adults and for the kids, because there's a lot in there that's just pure delight for the kids, right? And it's not Sesame Street-ish. Speaking of cameos, it's not Sesame Street-ish in that they're not trying to knock you over the head with any sorts of morals or any sorts of like, look, kids, this is why you need to help people who are different to you. It's all just sort of baked into the story. It's never explicitly done in like a pendidikan moral style. So I like that for the kids. It's just pure fun. And for the adults, you've got this meta stuff. You've got the surreal humor. You've got the references to the Hare Krishna. You've got all these different things going on that rewards an adult who is paying close attention. So I like that it does that thing that we talk about a lot for kids' movies. It strikes that balance that I think not everybody gets right.
No, and I think that's absolutely why the Muppets have managed to grow with its audience, because you'll find people who watch the Muppets as kids. I don't necessarily want to rewatch Sesame Street. I love that it exists. Once in a while, watching an episode here and there is kind of heartwarming, but I don't think I'd want to watch a Sesame Street movie, for instance, other than just to maybe relive that nostalgia. But a Muppets movie, I would legitimately enjoy it as an adult. I didn't watch the most recent one, but the one with Jason Segel, I loved it. I loved watching that. And I remember going to the cinema, all of my cousins. So at that point, we were age from something like 9 all the way to like 20 something, and all of us enjoyed it. It's like it's one of those things where there is something legitimately for everyone.
I wonder if kids watch the Muppets movies and associate Kermit with memes. So that is one thing that I was thinking about yesterday, because he's such a meme. Like Kermit has been in so many big memes that I'm not sure if some people have been introduced to him through TikTok and stuff like Reddit. And social media. And that'll be interesting to know, because like, obviously I know him through Sesame Street, But I'm wondering if he keeps his fame going because he has been able to become famous on social media and on platforms that kids nowadays use.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a larger question about the Muppets in general, right? Like, at what point will they stop being relevant?
Yes.
You know, at what point will the first generation of kids and adults who grew up with the Muppets baked into their DNA, at what point will they stop wanting to introduce their kids to it, you know, and then it just becomes Paw Patrol Central from then on? Because I do think that as a kid of the 80s, the Muppets should be in my wheelhouse. So the fact that they're not, I think, says something about the disconnect that probably happens in each generation where people grow a little bit further away from the Muppets until eventually, maybe if you're not American or British, you may not have that strong attachment that comes only from having them accompany you every day or every weekend on the TV.
I think that's a really interesting point because when you say when you're not American, one thing that struck me as I watched it this time, and this is probably the first time I've watched the whole first Muppet movie as an adult, I realize it's extremely American in a very, very obscure way. Meaning, if you're not really familiar with some of those the slang they use, the body language, the situations they're making fun of.
The hippies.
You're really very removed. And the Muppets have always been that. They've always been very particularly pop culture, American pop culture. And yeah, I do wonder whether now they're much more niche than they are appealing to everyone.
Yeah, which goes back to the same thing again, like how do people consume the Muppets nowadays? Because they have YouTube channels and they have like bite-sized programming. I think HBO Max has Elmo's late night talk show. And it's only like 15 minutes where he brings like famous people on and famous guests and they have like skits and it never goes longer than that 15-minute window. And I think that is for the kids, right? Because I don't know how much kids want to sit down and watch Muppets for a full half hour. So it is interesting to see like how are they keeping their relevance going, how they're keeping their presence going, and how are kids nowadays consuming the Muppets? Because I'm sure they do, and I know they are still very, very famous. It's just a question of how and how do they get to the kids nowadays.
So we're talking today about the Muppet Movie, which is the first Muppet film from 1979. Let us know if you have fond memories of the Muppets or if you, like me, would like to officially state your slight disinterest. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be continuing our conversation. Keep it here on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
You guys okay?
Why are you hopping up and down?
Because I'm hopping mad.
Guy's got a sense of humor.
Hey, why don't you join us?
Where are you going?
We're following our dream.
Really? I have a dream, too. I want to go to Bombay, India, and become a movie star.
You don't go to Bombay to become a movie star. You go where we're going, Hollywood.
Sure, if you want to do it the easy way.
We picked up a weirdo.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are throwing back on Throwback Tuesday to The Muppet Movie, which is the very first feature-length film featuring the Muppets from 1979. And there were a couple of threads of stuff that I wanted to pick up from the first half of our conversation. And one, we have not yet talked about the music. So we've talked about the story, the jokes, the fact that the Muppets are often just sort of dolls on sticks, and how appealing that can be, right? Like seeing real things next to a human, next to a dog. But I think the music is really, for me, one of the easiest ways for me to engage with the Muppets because the songs are always so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I was just reminded of how beautiful Rainbow Connection is as a song. It actually got an Oscar for that song because of how, you know, it sort of transcended the film. But I think the thing that this movie does really well is, you know, if you look at they have these great rock songs, they have these ballads, you know, they really just hit every genre that was big at that point in time. And they do it so well.
So, interestingly enough, I don't like the songs in Muppets movies. That is where it slumps a bit. And I kind of zone out when they start singing. I don't know why. Maybe I've never liked musicals that much, unless they're really, really good. So when the Muppets start to sing and there's a big musical number, I kind of, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, let's skip to the next part. Because I love the way they talk. their jokes, even though they are very American, they are very clever in the way that their humor is very smart. So there's a lot of wordplay, there are a lot of puns. It's not meant for kids below a certain age. Because like you said, if you are an adult, you can still understand their jokes and you still get their humor and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I like Rainbow Connection. I don't remember much else or any of the music in the movie.
The talking is when I zone out. So it's a really weird divide that we've got going on, because whenever the music starts trickling in, I'm like, ooh, okay, a moment. This is going to be great. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think, and I felt this even as a kid, I think the pacing of the Muppets is quite a signature in that the scenes are quite languid. So they're not like modern kids movies where there's a lot of edits, there's a lot of zip-zang-bar. You know, you're constantly moving. It's like flashing lights. They don't play with that sort of thing. Even in the modern iterations of the Muppets, you tend to linger. People sit down and have conversations. And I like that, again, from a distance. Mm. When I'm actually watching it, I find it quite difficult to focus. So this was a movie that I found myself going back on, you know, every so often, like, oh, I think I missed the last 4 minutes. What just happened? And so that's just me. I don't know what it is. Usually my attention span is decent. I don't know what it is about this film.
No, a lot of them are actually set like segments on a half hour. So it's almost like, you know, if you watch Sesame Street or if you watch Muppets on TV, there are these segments. And even the film, and this movie in particular, I think because it was the first one, is almost built like segment after segment. And I think it has to do with the physicality of it as well, having to set the stage and having the move and all that you can't really move around too much.
Yeah, I think so. So you can break this down into like mini episodes if you wanted to.
Yes.
You don't have to watch it as one long movie. Actually, it doesn't work as one long movie. You know, if you sort of placed it from point A to point Z all at once, it doesn't actually make much sense, because the ending sort of happens in a matter of like 20 to 30 seconds. And then you're like, why did that whole thing happen for them to get to this point?
Yeah.
Because there is no conflict or climax.
Or there'll be like this entire segment where they, for instance, paint an entire car, for it to just, the whole gag to not work like 10 seconds later. And you're like, okay, so that whole setup was just so that there could be this fun scene of the Muppets painting a car.
Yes. So there is like one scene where I thought they were foreshadowing something else. And I think I was giving it a bit too much thought because they didn't put any thought into it. It's where Gonzo sort of flies off in a bunch of balloons. And I thought that was going to come into play like somewhere later on in the movie, that someone's going to fly off with a bunch of balloons. And it didn't happen. It was just a gag. He just flew from here to there with balloons. And then they forgot all about that joke. And I think that's why I love and also don't have to pay much attention to the Muppets.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that we're watching this through the eyes of adults, right? And so this idea that we think the gags don't work, those might not have been the gags for us. They might not have been the gags for anybody over 10, really. But I think if you asked a kid whether it was fun to see a multicolored car or whether it's just hilarious that someone smashed a fly. Actually, I shouldn't say that as an example, because that one really worked. Smashing a fly and changing the price. But yeah, so I do think that there are some things we are engaging with completely differently, purely based on age. We're just not going to get it. And the other thing, so this is the final bit that I wanted to pick up on, were the cameos, because we talked about that. And I think the cameos are just so beautifully done, because everybody who comes in is either mocking themselves, you know, sort of making fun of the whole endeavor almost, or just there and you're like, you are way too famous for this. I'm not sure why you're here. And I just really enjoy the surrealism that came every time another famous face showed up.
No, and it's totally, those are totally for the adults, right? Because I don't think even any kid in the 70s would know who Richard Pryor, you know, if you were watching Richard Pryor, you shouldn't have been. Or Bob Hope, or Orson Welles. Orson Welles makes a cameo in this.
Yeah, I had a full-on moment.
I was like, what? But you know, it's not meant for the children. Those aspects are clearly for adults. And I guess that's also why there's so many of them, because it's almost like it's keeping you engaged in the same way it's keeping the kids engaged with the gags.
See, I don't know if they shouldn't have been in the movies or the Muppets shouldn't have had them, because it is an honor to be in the same film as the Muppets. And I think that anyone who gets an opportunity to be in the same space should take it.
Because I think it's like being in the Simpsons, because you've made it if you get put in a Muppet movie.
For sure.
Guys, what am I not getting? Just honestly, just tell me, explain.
I think it's just one of those like pop cultural things. Like you may not like The Simpsons, but it's a mark of honor.
The thing about The Muppets is, like I keep saying, objectively speaking, I get the quality. I think that the writing is great. I appreciate the work being done, like we've been saying, in the 70s and 80s to stage these things, right? You see Kermit like riding a bicycle. You see Fozzie driving a car. Like there are all these very specific sight gags that I think would have taken so much planning just to get done. And so again, just from a distance, I do get it. I don't understand the passion, I think is what I'm saying. So for instance, for me, the moments that really picked up, anytime with a song, I'm not going to say how these people entered the picture because it is fun if you're planning to watch it to just appreciate them. But when Steve Martin shows up, I died. When Mel Brooks shows up, I died.
They were both great. Yes.
Yeah. And so in those moments, I was like, this is so fantastic. And then suddenly we're just back to The Muppets. I don't get it.
Fun fact, apparently this is the first time The Muppets' feet have ever been seen on screen.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's an honor.
Yes.
That's a landmark film.
Yeah, it is, clearly.
You know what? Okay. We've, I think, contributed in some ways to making Arvin miserable over the last few weeks with our choice of reviews and stuff. So, yes, I'm. It makes me happy, Arvin, to see you this happy.
I'm just gonna say that there are only two movies in a specific bracket for me. It's Muppets and Star Wars, and both of them are on like an equal level. I think I can't
and
remember.
They both have Frank Oz.
They both have Frank Oz, and they're both like I cannot. In the same way that I cannot find much fault with even the bad Star Wars movie, for some reason I can always see the positives even in the bad Star Wars films. The Muppets can do no wrong. Like any Muppet movie that comes out, any clip on YouTube, any skit, any sketch, whatever, it's always perfect. I don't know when that's going to change. I hope it doesn't, but that is where I am. It's Muppets and it's Star Wars. Same thing.
So a whole bunch of questions for you guys, right? Like, do you enjoy the Muppets as much as Arvin and Sharmila do? Are you more maybe in line with me and my slight indifference? You know, you can let us know. Also, if you have kids or if you have kids in your life and you're watching entertainment with them, how do they engage with the Muppets, if at all? You know, have you introduced it? Just talk to us all things Muppets. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and of course also tweet us at BFM Radio. As is customary at this point in the show, I'm also going to tell you that you can find us on both Twitter and Instagram. We are BFM Popcorn, and you can write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.